So, Father in heaven, brother and sisters on earth. After all, we are his children, we must be brothers and sisters, however odd that may feel. This family is called the church, and God is very keen on it and wants to build it. Okay, very keen on the church, and he wants to build it. So, here's the promise I'm getting to today on page 1.5, so I can get it. So, let's read Matthew 16, shall we?
Excuse me. Oh, sorry. I've got there yet.
Go,
it's quite small. It's having a touch of the beer buzz to do this. Right, Matthew 16. Okay, voila.
Hey, very good. Shall we read it together?
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?"
And they replied,
"Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by a man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, but on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Thank you. Keep that up. Yeah. So Jesus asked his disciples who people think he is. Various answers come back, which reflected particular interpretations of the scripture. You might think they're a bit odd, but actually, they're all possible people that Jesus could be, if you look at the prophecies. But actually, the truth is something else. People have also been discussing Jesus on social media. Right? So the social media of those days was talking. Right? They actually talk to each other. Okay? That's good, isn't it? So we're talking, who is this Jesus? Facebook, hashtag, who is Jesus? They didn't even listen to that. But they were talking about Jesus. Yeah. Who is he? Yeah. Word soon got around that. I mean, it wasn't as if people didn't know what was going on. How else could huge crowds gather and follow him? It's amazing, really. We just somehow think we're more advanced because we've got Facebook and all the rest of it. But actually, the internet. I'm not so sure. But there we go. Anyway. Social media came up with some answers, but Simon Peter comes up with the correct answer, directly inspired by God. Jesus then makes a play on words with his name, because Peter means a rock, okay, in the original. And then Jesus says he will build his church on the rock of truth, and that is what Peter has said, that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Saviour and Liberator, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Messiah means, anointed. Chosen, Saviour, Liberator. And what's more, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So what does all this mean then? Well, first of all, let's look at Jesus promising to build a church. And the very first thing to notice is, and it's very interesting what Dave said, it's just praying. It's not our church. It's not Terry Virgo's church. It doesn't belong to New Frontiers or Christ Central, right? It belongs to God. It's Jesus' church. I will build my church. I mean, it sounds obvious, doesn't it? Right? But it should govern all that we do together, shouldn't it? And all that we plan together, and how we behave to each other and those around us. It's Jesus' church. It's not our church. The second thing. Does what we do and say reflect Jesus? That's the question. It's probably the central question to any church, but easily forgotten. And the second thing is that he said he would build it. Yeah. Again, it sounds obvious, but what does that mean? So often we can try and do the building, can't we? We can try and build it. And hope that God will come and live in the church, you know. God will come in on our projects and things. Right? We can have strategies and plans and projects, and that's all great. Nothing wrong with that, right? But unless God is inspiring us through his spirit, then it's not God who's building his church. It's us who's building it. Some different sort of edifice. Remember, when we looked at Jesus' message to the churches in the book of Revelation,
It wasn't that they weren't doing enough things, or that they weren't big enough. He didn't criticise them for that. The problems were about churches not loving God as the first love, not loving Jesus, someone not honouring God by allowing false teaching, and then consequent ungodly things happening in the church. That wasn't happening. That's what Jesus criticised the churches for. And he had some hard words to say to them. And we need to make sure we take that on board. So when Jesus builds his church, he wants foundations built on the rock of who he is. Yep. If we don't proclaim and believe Jesus as the Son of God, who came to save the lost and liberate us from the power of sin, then we may as well go home. This is the rock on which we stand. This is what the church stands on. So what comes next in the building after finding the bedrock? After Jesus is the rock, what comes next? Well, it's the foundations next. So I believe builders will tell you. If we look in Ephesians 2, Paul says,
yes.
Let's read this. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Excellent. It's just, you know, if you want 20 pages, we can unpack all of that. But we'll just say what I think God's saying today about this for us. So interestingly, as well as as being the rock on which the church is built, remember what Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and on this rock, right? Jesus is described as the chief cornerstone as well. Ooh. This relates back to Isaiah in the Old Testament, where Isaiah prophesied about a chief cornerstone being laid in Zion as a sure foundation. So a chief cornerstone, what's that? It's the most important stone to be laid in a building. It provides a reference point from which the whole building was built. So all the measurements and the levels and everything was taken back to that one stone. And if it wasn't set in properly, then the building was going to be wonky. It wasn't going to be right. So it all depends on that cornerstone, one reference point. So it talks about apostles. Apostles are responsible for starting churches and laying good foundations, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Often others build on the foundations that have been built by apostles. So here we see the importance of the apostles laying the most important piece on the most solid rock right at the beginning of the church. That is Jesus and the truth about who he is. And this is true. This was revealed way back by the prophets, as we read in the Old Testament, like Isaiah. And there isn't time now to look at the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, but there are over 300 of them. Right? There are over 300. And there's a lot of foundation there in the Old Testament. It talks about foundation, the apostles, the prophet. The prophets laid a fantastic foundation for the church, for Jesus. And of course, the prophets and apostles now who have a vital role in helping the church to remain built on the right foundations. We've got to make sure we still have the right foundation, we build on them properly. And those people are inspired by the same Spirit as inspired the Old Testament prophets. Jesus is still building the church by his Spirit. And it's not just apostles and prophets, is it, who can be filled with the Spirit? It's teachers, pastors, kids workers, cooks, chair putter outers, helpers, encouragers, evangelists, prayers, musicians, and so on. And that's all of us. Right? Okay? It's really important. Nothing special about apostles and prophets. What is special is the job that God's given them to do. And that's to build a church, foundation. So we've seen what the church is built on. Now let's look at what the church is built with. Well, what's the church built with?
Us.
It's us, yes! Excellent! It's us. Isn't that encouraging and scary all at once? Is it scary?
Yeah.
I feel scared. Not looking.
Looking at us, yeah.
Jesus has promised to build the church with us. So we continue with the building metaphor. Let's look what Peter said. Peter was very keen, wasn't he? He's very keen on stones now, because Jesus has given him this inroad. You know, he's got the stones franchise in the letters, okay? So he can talk about stones. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we go. Let's read it. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Excellent. So have you thought about what a living stone might look like?
It's like a dry stone wall, not a normal brick.
That's really good, you see, because I've got that down as well. So I'm going to come to that. Excellent. You're taking over Linda's role here. Wake up, Linda, let's have some more. We'll come on to that. Right, very good. Jesus was the original living stone. Okay, cornerstone. We've read that, living stone. And we follow him, don't we? As we are being transformed by the working of his Spirit in us. We might not think we're being transformed, but we are being transformed. This church is being transformed. This church is not the same as it was 2 years ago. There's only four of us, isn't it? we are not the same. And we shouldn't be the same. In the sense of we should be growing more like Jesus. But following Jesus doesn't mean we all turn out to look the same or do the same things, does it?
No.
That would be very strange. Some people think that though. You come to church, you have to behave a certain way, you have to be a certain way, do a certain, look a certain way. That's not true, right? But it does mean though that we should think more like Jesus and behave more like him as time goes on. And that's the fruit of the Spirit in us, isn't it? Holy Spirit works in us, doesn't make us all the same, but he makes us more like him in our own individual ways. But then, it's not the same as Gail. Gail's got more hair. That's all the difference there is. So things like that. So as living stones being built together, we have different functions and do different things, right? So just as Jesus had many sides, you think about this, Jesus had many sides to what he did and said at different times, didn't he? Depending on where he was, who he was talking to, he behaved in very different ways. So that's a bit like, we can't be totally Jesus, although the fruit of the Spirit in us is helping us become more like him, because we have different roles to do. But actually, Jesus did all sorts of different things, and we will reflect that diversity as his people. We will reflect the diversity that Jesus held in him as one person, as God in him. So our job as a stone in the structure might be relatively unseen, mightn't it? But hugely supportive. If you're a living stone down here, the whole of the rest of the wall actually depends on you not coming out, does it? Yeah. But maybe nobody pays much attention to that stone. But God does, absolutely.
Any attention to the
foundation, does.
God sees what we do, no matter what other people see.
Yes.
But, you know, part of our pride is, people, you want to see people, and feel good and get praise from people.
Yes.
But I think somebody said it before, it's about pleasing God, not pleasing other people.
Whole wall, a dry stone wall, but bits in the middle, nobody ever says.
That's right.
The foundation, nobody ever says, the most important part of it.
Absolutely right. See, no one sees the foundation in particular, but as we said, the foundation has to be actually built on a rock that you don't see. But if it's not there, when the storms come, when things happen, when people have bust ups, when there's issues, when people are ill, whatever, that's when things would disintegrate. That's when you see what the foundation does. but it's so important to be there. So you may be that little stone in the middle of the dry stone wall, in the infill in the middle, but actually if you weren't there, then it would collapse in on yourself. So, whatever our role, we need to be closely... I had some other examples actually, I might as well say them. So, right, we could be a stone making an arch over a doorway. Think about that, you could be a stone like that. And if you think about those stones in that archway, right, the more compressed they are, the stronger they are. So you might be feeling a bit compressed, but actually, that's because you can take that, because God says that's your role. To take that weight. Okay, and that might be wrong. And that's okay. But you can live in that knowing that God's put you there. You could be purely decorative. Not looking at anyone in particular. You could be a purely decorative stone, right? But you give pleasure and joy. You could be completely gaga. But that's alright. But you give pleasure and joy. Yeah. Just by being yourself, You could be a stone inscribed with a welcome sign over the front door. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you? You could be one of them stones. You know, you've seen all the buildings. Yeah. You know, born in 1923. Yeah. Not looking at anyone in particular. But welcome. You could have welcome on there. So it could be anything, couldn't it? We could be the stone in the hearth that withstands the great heat to protect the rest of the house. Yeah. So you could feel even more than the heat, but actually,
walked on.
Walked on. You could be walked on. That could be your job. But yeah, there'll be different pressures, different issues, different visibilities, but actually God has put us in those roles. Whatever our role, whatever it is, we need to be closely linked to the stones around us, don't we? No stone exists on its own.
Have we finished with dry stone walling?
Well, my next line was, note that we are not living bricks. So I suppose... Go on.
Well, what I was saying about dry stone walling, all the bricks are all different shapes and sizes. And they've got to be in the exact places. And when a man's building a dry stone wall, he'll often pick up a brick and put it there.
Yeah.
And then he'll take it and put it back. You've all got to be... the right shape in the right place.
Yes.
If you're in the wrong place, it won't work.
If you've got a dry stone wall, we'll never put a brick and put it back out.
Well,
always find a place to put it.
If you've got an experienced dry stone waller, what they do, they look at all the bricks, they look at the stones, don't they? And they can tell. If you're inexperienced ones, like when I'm building a wall or something, you pick one up and then put it down. I've done that before. But your experienced builder will look and just see it. And put it in the right place. So, maybe when we try and build something, we put things in the wrong place, you see. And then he'd take it out and put it back again.
Yeah.
But my point, I was going to say, it goes back to what Paul says. We are not, he talks about living stones. He doesn't talk about living bricks, does he? Right? There were plenty of bricks around in biblical times. It wasn't they didn't have bricks. Remember, the Egyptians made bricks. The slaves made bricks in Egypt. The picture's about stones. Stones are different in size and shape, right?
Yeah.
They need some work sometimes to get them to fit and do the right job, okay? If you're doing something a bit more intricate, they need some work. But when they get shaped and fitted together properly by a master builder, they form a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And the master builder is, of course, Jesus. Right? And he is the one, as we've said, who can do that, not us. We're called to be willing to be living stones, to be worked on, to be fitted together. Right? Anyone feel worked on? Yes. There are no stones. This is my. I'm going to assert this, right? And I may be wrong, but I'm saying there are no stones that a master builder cannot use somewhere.
It's true.
Right. Great. We've got it. That's really important. There are no stones that a master builder cannot use somewhere. Let no one say they are useless.
Sorry,
Hang on.
Jesus would never reject anybody anyway.
Jesus would never reject anybody anyway, so we're all part of the living building.
Exactly.
Whatever we are.
Yeah.
There is no way he would turn anybody away.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter how little or how big or how inconsequential, or no matter what you think you are, he's still going to accept you.
Yeah, exactly right.
The ones that he picks up that don't fit on the outside, he puts straight in the infield. Mm-hmm. That's why he never ever puts a one back. It goes into his wall, either outside or the infield straight away.
There's a place for all stones.
Which means... Oh, I'm totally sorry. I'll have to get my this Captain Scarlet thing. Which means that we shouldn't think, well, I wish I was like somebody else. I wish I was this shape or spiritual shape, or I don't do this, or I don't say prophetic things like this person or sing like this person. God loves you the way you are, whatever shape you are.
Yeah, very good.
And can use you whatever shape you are.
Absolutely. So let no one say they're more or less important than anyone else either. It may be, coming on to what you were saying, it may have been possible what you were saying. We've tried to be one source of stone, but actually, we would be far better if we allowed the builder to place us somewhere else in the building where we fitted the best. Okay? I'm not saying go and find another church, right? I'm really not saying that. I was trying to phrase this in a way which wouldn't come across as saying, you don't fit, go away. That's not what I'm saying, right? It's this building God wants you in, right? This is where, but he will find a place for it. Don't try and fit yourself in if you haven't really felt that's what God's saying. And even better, you know, we pray about it, we ask others.
Jesus put you on this stone delivery.
Yeah, this stone delivery, yeah. We got tipped up here. Basically, find out, you know, if you're in any doubt, and just listen to others as well. Listen to God, listen to others. Listen to what God's put in your heart as a passion. What's God put into your heart as a passion? Yeah. And that's likely to be where he wants you to serve, what he wants you to do. It could be anything. As we've said before, it could be any of the things that happen. You know? And even things that don't happen yet, that need to happen. It could be something like that. Okay? So, ask God. Ask each other. Let's ask. What do you think? You know, what do you think I could be doing? Or I feel that God said this to me. And do you think that's right? Things possible? You know, things like that. Absolutely. God has put us together to build each other up. That's part of being living. Funny enough, living stones actually manage to build each other. I don't know how that works, but that's what it works. We are part of what God is doing. We are co-builders with God. We've not been called to be passive. But as God enables us, we can enable others to find their place. That's really important, right? It's so important to encourage and support each other, whatever our place in the building may be.
You're just talking about putting stuff into a wall, but when you think about it, even a grain of sand will find its place in the wall to find its right place to make it the strength to hold the building up.
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, that no matter how that gravel or whatever it might be falls into place in that wall, that's where it's been accepted, because that's where it's supposed to be.
Yes. Many different shapes, many different sizes. So I'm sure I'm getting this across, that, you know, what we're trying to say here. Remember the bit about the gates of Hades in the previous thing? Remember it says the gates of Hades will not prevail? What does that mean?
Oh, it's gone.
It's all right. What does it mean? Ooh. Interesting. You don't have to put it, it's all right. I think it's this, and this is really important, right? When Jesus builds the church, it is strong. It survives. Hades represents death. Okay? There's a lot of controversy about Hades is, and whether it's hell or not, or something else where people go first. You know, but it represents death. And when Jesus says the gates of Hades will not prevail, which is what the NIV says, not what the song says, the gates of Hades, but it's a matter, he is saying that his church will survive through anything that can be thrown at it, even death. Jesus conquered death. Go, John.
I heard a comment that gates don't advance, but rather when a church advances, even against the gates of hell and death, it will prevail, rather than the gates of Hades prevailing or trying to prevail against a church, which it wouldn't do. You know, so in a way, it turns it round, doesn't it? So that as a church goes on, it's unstoppable and it will go anywhere, including right through the gates of hell.
It's an interesting picture, isn't it? When the church advances, when it's been built properly, then even death is not going to stop it. It's not going to stop it. The church will not be going through the particular gates of death. It will not die. In the end, the church will be the church standing firm on that rock and secure on those foundations. We're being built into something that's eternal, that's unshakable, and that's beautiful in God's eyes. That's all scriptural. That's what the Bible says. And that's the destiny for the church. You know, only one thing will remain, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, the church will remain. And even that will get a new place to be in Jerusalem. So the church perseveres. The church is built, you know, from places where it's persecuted. Where it's persecuted, the church actually often it grows. So in conclusion, last page. It may be, you haven't decided yet to become part of what Jesus is building. Right? Now is the time to seriously consider what he's saying to you. Maybe you've never committed yourself to Jesus. Maybe you've counted yourself worthless or an outsider. But that is not what God's heart is for you. He wants to bless you, he wants to heal you, he wants to give you a new life and a new hope. He wants to deal with a past that weighs you down. He's offering forgiveness and peace right now. So the real choice is then, when you boil off all the water, is whether to live for God or whether to live for something else. You can only do two things. You're either living for God or you're living for something else. I would simply say, come and be part of what God's doing. Be part of what he's building. Hear that call to you from Jesus saying, come to me, and you won't regret it. Shall we pray? Lord, we want to thank you so much for your promises that we can totally rely on. And Lord, you promised to build your church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Death will not prevail. Lord, thank you for calling us together. Thank you for making us a delivery of stones in this place. We want to be living stones for you, Jesus. Lord, when we need to be chipped off a little bit or just moved around, Lord, we're just happy to do that, Lord God, to be moulded by you. And Lord God, help us to support each other and help us to give you honour and glory, Jesus, so that what is built here may be your building, Lord. And Lord, if we don't know you, right now, Lord God, I just pray for anyone who doesn't know you, you'd speak to them and help them know that you love them very, very much and you accept them 100%. And you want them to know your love and your family life as well. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.